decide to forgive. By forgiving, you become the master of fate, the fashioner of life, a doer of miracles. To forgive is the highest, most beautiful form of love. A poem by Robert Mueller, originally printed in the Flagstaff Daily Sun. Want to know more? Well, welcome to Books on Air, the podcast that you don't want to miss. You're about to get a sneak peek at what goes on behind the scenes with authors. They'll tell you their secret recipe for creating a book. They'll tell you about their ideas, and you will get the inside scoop on their next project. Want to know more? Terrific. We'll tell you where to find them on social media. Are you ready? All right, let's meet today's author. Joining me is Paul Wolfe. He's here to talk about his autobiographical book, The Wolf's Den, Secrets of the Lair, and this is the first book in his trilogy. Paul created and directed the AOK Recovery Center in Newark, Ohio. His work at the center made him aware of the need for trained counselors in the field of addiction recovery. Today, Paul is finishing his degree in psychology with plans to help other victims of abuse remold their lives to find the healthy balance that Paul has been able to attain. Paul, welcome.
Hello.
You know, your story is very personal and very poignant. What happened to make you decide to share your story with the world?
Well, originally, it was about pain and suffering that I was dealing with in my own emotions and personal life that I couldn't get a grip on. So I decided to write this story, and I wrote it several times, and several times it went in the trash, until I finally became a story that was could be acceptable by the public, because at first it was too harsh. It was too coarse and full of anger and rage. And this book actually helped me bring that anger and rage down to a viewable level.
Was the book cathartic for you as you wrote it?
It was very, yes.
Let's give our listeners an overview. Now, this is basically the first part of your life. You've divided your life into, for lack of a better word, three different segments, and The Wolf's Den is the first segment.
So the first segment of my book and life was full of pain and a rageful father who drank and blacked out and showed up to the home in all hours of the night, abusing anybody that came in his path, and sometimes he went out of his way to find us and abuse us in the middle of the night. It led to a mother who just kind of stood by and watched it happen because of her own fear and no ability to do anything about it. She just let it happen time and time and time again for several years. And then finally she got tired of it and let him go. But then he came back and it happened for another year. And then finally she got to a point where she just got up with it, and she put him on his trail with his three other children that he brought with him. So then that left me by myself with my mother, who was working, so it just left me by myself. And I, as time came by, I learned more and more and more that it was me against the world. I was all by myself, and I had all this rage and hate and anger inside of me. And every time something would happen in the world, as it does, I would lash out in anger and rage. And so I had to come to an even medium for myself where I could live amongst people in society and be sociable, you know, be at least nice or civil, because I was not. And writing this book helped that. Putting it on paper and putting it out there. And then I come to the realization that if I also did this, that other people could see child abuse, a real thing. It happens all the time. It's happening around us now. but people don't see it, or they just turn away because they don't want to be a part of it. But back in my days in the 70s, people didn't want any part of it. They just like, well, that's your own family business. We're going to leave you alone. So nobody really ever helped us, and we had to take care of that on our own. So,
wow. When I read the book, your writing is excellent, and you pulled me right into your life. I was right there. The first part of the book is about living with your half-brothers and sister on a farm. And I have to say that the book is not all a downer. The book, you tell some hilarious incidents at the very first part of this book, because when you lived on a farm, I mean, I can only imagine. I could just see you in the barn, and I could see some of these things that you were doing, and the bull story. I'd like for you to share the bull story with our listeners. I loved that story. How old were you when this happened?
I believe I was two years old, still in diapers, and I had an issue when I was that age. I would never want to have any clothes on for some reason. So I was wearing my clothes, and I had an ability at 2 years old to get out of the house. So I could, everybody would try to find me, and they would search the whole house. And then when they couldn't find me in the house, they would go out and find me in the barn or in a field. And so this day, we had gotten a new bull just a few days before this, and it was a big, mean bull with a very large horn, and it was in a pen by itself, and I had made my way under the wire and was in the field, and the bull just kind of moseyed right up to me and just kind of sniffed me, and I put my hands on both sides of his face and was kissing the bull. Well, the family searched the whole house to find me, and they came out to the field, and every time they would try to come in the fence, the bull would charge them. Like the bull was protecting me. Like he knew that I needed some help, some protection. And so they called the neighbors, and they called family, and all kinds of people showed up. And I believe the fire department even showed up. And they finally figured out that somebody could distract the bull from one side and run in and grab me while the bull was being distracted by someone else. Because apparently I had figured out that nobody could get to me, and I kind of like that, so I just stayed right there.
I love it. You know, the way you tell that and the way it's written in the book, I was right there in that field with you, and I read this little tiny quote, and I absolutely love this. You said, "Mischief and I ran hand in hand, sometimes like we were one." And when I in my mind, I saw you sitting with that giant bull, your little tiny two-year-old hands on each side of that bull's nose, and you giving it a kiss on the nose. I just thought that was such a wonderful image. I'm sure every parent that reads that story will be horrified, but at the same time, it's such a wonderful, entertaining childhood story. You guys lived through something that must have been horrific. You said that you had to rewrite the book several times because it was too rough the first few times that you wrote it. And yet, when I read what you wrote, my heart just broke, and it just went out to you, because I never lived through something like that, and I can't imagine how terrified you must have been as a child.
Yes, it was. We knew to expect it, but we kind of lived like it was okay, you know. But when it happened, everybody kind of got out of the way for whoever he was torturing at the time. And then when he would go and pass out, the others would group up and cuddle the one that was abused. And that's kind of how it went most nights. Left bloody in a corner crying, waiting for him to pass out so that someone could come and help me up, or I would have to get up on my own and go crawl back in bed.
I thought the analogy that you used of a Jekyll and Hyde personality was really interesting, because there were times that he was this, you know, Dr. Jekyll, and he was beating the crap out of everybody. And then there were other times when he would come and grab your hand and hold it in a almost painful grip, telling you how much he loved you. That must have been so difficult, because you never knew which personality was going to be coming into the room.
Well, and you couldn't believe anything he was saying, because you knew that the next night or the night after that, it was going to be violent and painful. And so as he told us that he loved us and he was sorry for everything he'd done, we knew that it was a lie. And this is a person who was supposed to be protecting me and looking out for me so I didn't hurt and go through all those dangers. And he was actually the one doing it.
Do you think that the experiences that you had are reflective of the experiences that most children who are abused have?
Yes, in one way or another. So I was basically the one that got beaten the most. And my oldest brother, Bob, we call him Ralph, he took the verbal abuse. And my sister took verbal abuse. And my brother, Nick, he took both verbal and physical abuse. And so whether it's physical or verbal abuse, it's still abuse. And even parents that don't think that they're being abusive when they say harsh things to the children, it has an impact on them. And later down the road, it comes up. It sticks its nasty head up and bites you, and you have an issue in life. You have to figure out what's going on, and you have a character defect. Not that you're defective, but you have a character that's defective, and it hinders your lifestyle. So, yeah, I agree that most all abusive children deal with the same thing.
How did you get help? How did you make, I mean, you were on your own, basically. How did you make the decision to seek help?
So it took 25 years. And I went into a deep, dark hole. And my father died. And he died from a brain aneurysm. His brain exploded in his sleep. So I had the realization that he had a brain aneurysm. When he drank, it made his brain swell or whatever it did to him, but it blacked him out. And he literally did not know he was doing that stuff. And so I would talk to him. You know, we got together, and he stopped drinking. And he'd become a church folk and all that. He was trying to do good in life. And I would talk to him about these things, and he would say, I never did that. So I never got any closure. And when he died, the lack of closure destroyed me.
Oh.
It sent me to an edge that was dark. And I fell into addiction hard. Like, I wanted to die. I didn't want to kill myself, but I didn't care if I died. So I went through that hardcore addiction, and finally, I started seeking help in recovery, and I found that forgiveness was my key element. So I forgave him for everything he ever done, and when I truly did that, a powerful peace came over me, and that's when I started writing.
And that's the poem that I read as a teaser at the very beginning of the show, the poem by Robert Mueller from the Flagstaff Daily Sun. The title of it is Decide to Forgive. And this is a perfect place to talk about it. Why did you choose that particular poem to put at the beginning of the book?
Well, because everybody needs to learn to forgive. And if you carry that stuff around with you, you're going to have multiple character defects. You don't even know you have them, but it's all because you're carrying that hate and rage. And until you're able to forgive, you'll not get past that.
Did you have a target audience in mind when you were writing the book?
Anybody, because everybody has children. There's abuse everywhere, physical or mental. And so it's basically for everyone, but, you know, mostly kids that are being abused themselves a silver lining in that dark cloud. You know, you don't have to live this way all your life. And just because you go through all that doesn't mean that you have to stay that person, that you can change. So it's anybody and everybody that has abuse or anybody that is an abuser. It goes on both sides.
I really liked the point that you made when you were talking about parents who may be, air quotes here with my fingers, unintentional abusers who may say negative things to their kids, not realizing how much impact their negative or hurtful or abusive words may have on that child, and especially if it's over and over and over and over. I actually experienced a mental abusive relationship myself with a man that I was involved with. And I have to say, from my perspective, I mean, I had never experienced anything like that. And he would say things to me that were offhand comments that, you know, you would kind of, it would sort of whip my head around because I hadn't thought about myself in those kinds of terms. And you're absolutely right. I mean, it changed my self-concept. It changed the way that I looked at myself and that I felt about myself. And finally, I did make a decision to get out of that relationship. And in hindsight, I look back at that and I think, wow, how did you let that happen? And if you were a friend watching somebody go through what you were going through, why didn't somebody say something to me about the fact that this was verbal abuse? Because I didn't really recognize what was happening. So I love what you've said about the book, that it is for everybody. And I think that often we will say things in an offhand manner that we don't think have any impact, or we don't even think about it. It's a throwaway line for us. And yet it can have such a negative impact on another person. So thank you for saying that. I think that's really valuable.
Mm-hmm. My brother, Bob, Ralph, who took all the verbal abuse, and he was told all the time he was stupid, he would never be anybody. And to this day, and I hate it, you know, but it's a fact that he's done nothing with his life, nothing, because he truly believes that he is nothing and nobody. He'll never become anybody, so why even try?
Wow.
It's sad.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. Is there a part of the book that you would like to share with our listeners, Paul?
Yes, there is. The following scenario seems to be a typical all-American setting into which a child could be born. As you will soon see, this assumption is not the case at all. Quite the opposite. One can initially envision a wonderful life for the baby, with loving parents who nurture and protect this child, Paul. It is far more difficult to slowly grasp the reality that involves a drunken, violent father and a frightened mother who stands passively and allows unending horror to invade every corner of this child's life.
Such a powerful story. Such a powerful book. I know our listeners are wondering where they can find it. It is on Amazon, and if you go to Amazon.com, there's a search feature at the top if you've never been there before. There's a big box, and in the box, if you'll just type in The Wolfs, W-O-L-F-E, apostrophe S, The Wolf's Den, Secrets of the Lair by Paul, P-A-U-L, Wolf. W-O-L-F-E. Type that in the search feature, click on it, and you'll go right to Paul's book. And in the upper right-hand corner, there's always a look inside. If you'll click on that look inside, you'll get to read a little bit about the book. You get to read an excerpt from the book. And the poem that I read at the beginning of the show as a teaser is also in that particular excerpt. I found that this morning. I always go check Amazon to make sure everything is working, and everything's working perfectly. Now, you have this in an ebook, and they can also buy a paperback if they want a paperback. Is that right?
That is correct, yes.
Now, you have a Facebook page as well. You have an author page on Facebook. How can they find you on Facebook, Paul?
Facebook is just The Wolf's Den, Secrets of the Lair, Paul Wolf. And you can type that in any Facebook, and it'll take you directly to The Wolf's Den. And then there's also a connection there to Amazon that you can click on to take you straight to the book in Amazon.
Now, I said at the beginning that this was a trilogy, and so I know that you're working on the other two books. You already have titles for both of them. You got Out of the Den into the Woods is book two, and then book three is going to be Life is A-OK. Where are you with both of those projects?
So book two, Out of the Den into the Woods is almost done. It has been a rough write because the first book basically covers my childhood and my teen and up into my 20s or 19-year-old. And then from there on, it goes into addiction and all the troubles that come with addiction and all my internal battles that I had to go through. So basically, it's Out of the Den into the Woods because I've been released out of the home, and I'm into the world on my own and battling everything with all of my character defects. Book three, The Wolf and Life is A-OK. And A-OK actually stands for Acts of Kindness. And that's what the recovery center that we worked with was all about, was just acts of kindness and recovery. Just showing people that people actually care, and that that's what it takes to make it productively in this world. If you don't care and you have no caring parts of you, then you're going to have a rough time in this world. So through all of the troubles and the trials and everything I've been through, and what it all led to was caring and kindness, forgiveness, loving, tenderness, all of those things. And that's basically what book three is about, because that's who I've become.
Have you finished your degree?
Still working on it.
What are your plans?
Well, I'm still a tree climber, and I'm still a remodeler. And my plans are to get this degree completed and move a little farther with it, and then go into recovery counseling.
Now, you've also taught yourself a lot of different skills, like stained glass and carpentry. How did that come about?
Different people that I've been blessed with in my life have shown me different things. And for instance, stained glass. I dated a young lady for quite some time, and she really liked stained glass. And she had a little shop in her basement, and she showed me, and I just jumped on it. Well, I took off of that thing, and I started making my own designs and started creating all that. When I was living in Alaska, I actually taught stained glass to children, and I was just amazed how 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old children were doing these wonderful stained glass pieces, and it brought peace to me, and it was something that I could concentrate on and give myself peace.
Are you still doing stained glass?
Oh, yeah, every chance I get.
Do you sell any of your work?
I've heard other things. I do sometimes. I make these things called dragon boxes and some other real tedious pieces. And if people are willing to pay for them, I sell them. But I don't make it to actually it's hard to make a profit on stained glass because the glass and the solder and all that stuff is just so expensive that it's hard to make any profit.
So are you showing any of your work on your Facebook page?
Some, yes. I show some dragon boxes and other boxes and just just pieces that I make. I really like just putting it out there and showing it. In all honesty, I give most of it away. Christmas presents, birthday presents, friends that need something nice. That's pretty much what I do with it.
I love it that you've discovered your inner artist. I think that's really terrific. You know, we have to stop. We're about to finish. Our time is almost over, but I always like to let the author have sort of a last word with their listeners and about their book, because it's your work. The book is a difficult read, you're right. There are some funny stories. Your writing is very visual. And so I was right there in the barn, in the house. I was right there with you. When our listeners buy a copy of Wolf's Den, and for the last time they read the last page, and they either electronically or literally close the back cover, what do you want them to leave with at the end of the book when they finish reading?
Anybody and everybody that reads this book, I want them to see what effect child abuse has on children who become adults. And I want everybody and anybody that sees or reads this, if they see somebody that relates to this or is the same, going through the same thing, please help them. Do something. Show them, give them some kindness, give them some love. Help them get some help if that's how bad it is. If it's seriously bad, please bring this to someone's attention and just help those children or people that are being abused. And it goes even farther in relationships, like you spoke earlier, that even in relationships that people are just bad-mouthing someone and giving them a hard time, is abuse enough to hurt somebody? And let that person know, hey, I think you're going through verbal abuse. You might want to take a look at that. That's pretty much it.
Paul, I want to thank you for being my guest today on Books on Air. You are inspirational. You literally pulled yourself up by the bootstraps out of a beginning that could have gone in the other direction. And I love what you've done with this. I think bringing abuse to the sunlight is the thing that's so important. Thank you for chatting with me today. It's been just so interesting, and I've enjoyed you so much.
It has been my pleasure.
Remember that The Wolf's Den, Secrets of the Lair by Paul Wolf is on Amazon. You've been listening to Books on Air. Our podcast is brought to you on webtalkradio.net. You can also hear us on iTunes as well as iHeartRadio. I'm Suzanne Harris. I hope you'll join me for our next Books on Air podcast. And remember, you never know who's going to be here. Thanks so much for listening.